We call Dr. Mark Chi.
Very well. You are still under oath, Dr. Chi.
I assume I am, yes.
You are still under oath, sir.
Yes, I am.
Good morning, Dr. Chi.
Good morning, Nikki.
I put up Exhibit 269-1, please. Could you highlight the paragraph with the parenthetical clause? It's about, we've now tested. Dr. Chi, you were questioned earlier about this email by Mr. Pantone.
We can't see it.
Dr. Chi, let me draw your attention to the parenthetical clause there, which says, we've now tested two different sets of 768 with both showing good specificity. I believe when Mr. Pantone questioned you, you were unable to recall what experiments particularly this was referring to. Have you now had a chance to refresh your recollection?
Yes, I have.
How did you do that?
I went through lab notebooks of a number of our scientists, Jim Beerley, Kevin Gunderson, Bahram Kermani.
Are those the original notebooks there?
They are.
In that clause where you say two different sets of 768, does that mean there were two different sets of 768 DNA sequences that were being tested at Illumina?
That's correct.
Can you explain what those two were?
There was an initial set that we referred to as the Barani sequence. That's after a scientist who published a paper using these sequences. That was the initial set that we worked on. Subsequently, actually not for scientific but for business reasons to do with intellectual property, namely, we came up with another set of sequences. They were designed by Kevin Gunderson, and we referred to them by Kevin's name for them, which was the Illumina codes.
So, in this email, when you are referring to testing two different sets with both showing good specificity, were you in any way referring to an earlier experiment which Dr. Gunderson testified about that failed?
No, I wasn't.
So, were there other experiments that were conducted with the Barani sequences that did show good specificity?
Yes, there were. As I testified previously, there was a whole series of experiments that we did in this stage looking at 768 complexity, and the very initial point in the series failed, but subsequently there were successful experiments.
Okay. So, in this email, then, is it accurate to say that your memory was refreshed after looking at these lab notebooks? And in fact, there were two good sets of 768 that showed good specificity?
That is correct.
Let's put up... Did you want to show the jury how you refreshed your recollection on that earlier Barani experiment? Do you have any figures you can refer to illustrate that?
I can go through very briefly. Actually, when I went through this, there was really a nice set of high-quality experiments that was done, both in preparing the reagents and in carrying out the experiments, and in troubleshooting the very initial experiment that didn't work, and going on to get good data. There's no time to go through that here, but I can just show perhaps a figure from Dr. Kamani's notebook that really just summarizes the result.
Is that lab notebook number 68?
That's right.
Is it page... Does it look like this?
Yes, page 82.
I'm going to put it on the Elmo for the jurors.
I would object to this. I've never seen it before. We've had no opportunity to examine any of these notebooks despite discovery requests. I object to it.
These were not responsive to any of his discovery requests.
Absolutely they were.
Why don't you show it to him now? How many exhibits are you seeking to use here?
I think I can probably summarize this with just two pages, one or two pages from the lab books.
Which ones do you want to use?
Well, in referring to this earlier Barani set, perhaps just page 82.
Is that the one I showed you?
That's the one, and...
Is that the one with the date June 2nd on the bottom?
That's the one.
Same objection, Your Honor.
Have you had a chance to see it?
Yes, I've had a chance to see it. I have no idea what it means.
Is this rebuttal testimony?
Yes, Your Honor. Just the support that there were actually two sets of 768 that showed good specificity. This was the first one, not the failed experiment.
What testimony does this rebut?
He was questioning Kevin Gunderson whether there were two good sets of specificity, and he had no idea because Kevin Gunderson didn't do this experiment.
Several witnesses have said no.
Okay, the objection is overruled. You can have these displayed.
Could you describe why that shows good specificity?
And I think I can explain it fairly simply. Let me just try and explain the overall interpretation. If you would just look at any one of those rows, just pick one, it actually represents 8 sets of 96. And a specific result should show a black bar in only one of those 8 sets of 96. So what was happening was that we were testing a set of 96 beads against all 768 decoders. So there was a chance to get a lot of wrong answers and only 96 chances to get the right answer. And again, without going into all the details, those black bars are in the right places for that, so indicating that we were getting a right answer.
That shows good specificity?
Shows very good specificity. An analogy I can use to just give you some idea of the odds of getting this result by chance is it's like buying lottery tickets, and you've got to pick one right number. That's not so hard to do. You have, 6 chances out of 40-something, I guess. This is 96 chances out of 768. But then you have to pick a second right number, and then you have to pick another right number, and you have to keep going on and doing this, and the odds of doing this correctly for so many right numbers here are just astronomical. So that shows good specificity. The numbers on the left just actually reflect the bars on that picture on the right, and they just show the number of beads in each of those categories. The end result I can summarize for you is that about 400 out of 768 were decoded correctly.
Okay, so this was the Barani set of 768, correct?
That was the Barani set of 768.
Okay, so that explains your first set that showed good specificity. Now, in the email...
And I believe... Sorry, that... My initial email may be...
Could you put up 269-11 again, please? Go ahead.
It's possible that Mr. Pantone's questioning confused Dr. Gunderson and perhaps others, because my email, I think, also is not entirely clear. That's not surprising. This email is taken out of context a couple of years later, and people don't recollect everything that was said around it.
And in fact, you didn't send this email to Dr. Gunderson.
No, I didn't send it to Dr. Gunderson. I think he may have been misinterpreting and thinking there were 500 good sequences.
I'm going to object and move to strike on the basis of foundation and calls for speculation.
Sustained. Motion to strike granted. Jury admonished to disregard.
Let's move to the other experiment you've heard about a lot in this pretty picture. So, was there ever any doubt in your mind that the pretty picture showed good specificity?
None whatsoever. And I'd be happy to just explain this picture a bit better.
Have you used this picture in scientific presentations?
Yes, I have. I think it's a wonderful picture that shows very intuitively that decoding works well and has worked well in this experiment. What I'd like to do, if I could, is just show one more...
269-3. We'll put up the...
That's the one I meant to show.
Is there any doubt in your mind this experiment used 3 colors and not 2?
There's no doubt whatsoever in my mind this used 3 colors. You can see.
269-3, please. The next page, 4. So this was the other page of the PowerPoint attachments you sent to the team on the roadshow?
That's right.
And these are the clustering diagrams that relate to this experiment?
That's correct.
And these were the Gunderson Illuma code 768?
This is the Gunderson Illuma code 768.
What does that cluster diagram show?
Perhaps I can point it out here.
They can't see the PowerPoint up there. I'll put it down to the floor if you want to use it.
Is it okay if I go over there and point?
Sure.
So that's the end result of a sort of computational analysis to figure out what the codes were. This is just a visual representation of the data. So in a scientific experiment, you should be able to relate the end result to the data that you see. If you can do that, it's probably right. There's 3 different colors here. Now, they're not perfectly all red or all blue or all green, but they are close enough that I think you can see 3 different categories. So the cluster down at the bottom. I've looked at Dr. Kamani's lab book, and I'm not 100% sure this is exactly the same way the cluster...
Dr. Gunderson, you mean?
Dr. Kamani's. The cluster at the bottom right that's colored blue there, that corresponds to the blue beads here.
So this blue cluster here correlates to the blue beads in the picture.
Right. So that's one color. The red beads here correspond to the green cluster over there.
You can have any color you want?
You can assign any color you like. So this is another cluster. And then the third one, that yellow one at the top, which actually is not as well separated from the other two as it should be, as we wanted it to be, that corresponds to the color made by the mixed-up dyes. And that corresponds to beads that are yellowish-green here. You can see that some... It's somewhat an artifact of the imaging process as well. Some are yellow and some are more green, but they are not red and they are not blue. They are that third category.
So that's why these two clusters are closer together then.
Right. So when you're looking at this, this was the point of making this slide. It's so that you didn't need all the mathematical background to interpret the result. The point of this was to show people that you could clearly distinguish three separate categories of bead. Now, there are occasional beads that just don't fall into any category. There's a couple of white beads. I don't know what those are. I don't think anybody knows what those are. That's normal. That's one of the strengths of the decoding approach. That is that we always get a few beads that don't fall into any category. We now know those are funny beads. We throw those away. So what we wind up with are really good beads, and that's been proven by our genotyping experiments, which is the purpose of all this decoding, that show we get really good genotyping. So there are indeed three colors in this experiment, one of them slightly mixed up, but nevertheless distinct from the other two.
So to your recollection, in July of 2000, when this whole issue of the mislabeled dyes came up, did Dr. Zarnik ever ask you these questions about the experiment?
To my recollection, he did not.
Did he ask Dr. Kermani? Did he call a meeting of the scientists involved in the experiment to investigate the impact of the mislabeled dye on the experiment?
Not that I'm aware of.
So going back to your email to the senior staff, do you now have a recollection that in any way you overstated or exaggerated the status of decoding at Illumina at that time?
I did not overstate or exaggerate the status of decoding. In fact, the other experiment supports it further. There was an implication there was an experiment done hastily and all these conclusions were drawn on one experiment. That's not the case. If I had the time, I could go through and lay out whole series of 73 careful experiments leading up to this, all the way from 16 to 168 to the initial Barani net. In the initial Barani set, we tested lots of different things, and so we had a very firm foundation before we came to that last 768 that we're talking about here. And keep in mind that we're now using different sets of sequences. We actually use different labeling methods. We used a couple of different analysis techniques, and all of these worked. So that says it's very robust.
We also heard some prior testimony that Dr. Zarnik described himself as a cynic. In your experience, did Dr. Zarnik ever tell you that any of these scientific experiments or tasks were...
He sometimes referred to tasks as being impossible.
Can you recall an example?
Objection, relevance.
Sustained.
By the way, did Jim Bearley actually test the mislabeled dyes to see if...
Objection. Lack of foundation. Hearsay.
Sustained. Lack of foundation.
Could you refer to Mr. Bearley's lab notebook in front of you there? It's lab notebook number 75.
Objection on the basis of hearsay, Judge.
Page 73.
Can you lay a foundation as a business record?
Are these lab notebooks that are ordinarily kept in the course of Illumina's business?
Yes.
Did you supervise Jim Bearley as part of the molecular group?
I did. Kevin Gunderson supervised him directly, but overall I was responsible for him.
And do you have any knowledge as to whether or not Dr. Bearley or Mr. Bearley checked the dyes that were used in the 768 decoding experiment?
He did check the dyes.
And Dr. Zarnik testified earlier that there are these 5-minute tests you can do to check whether a dye is properly labeled or not in its bottle or not. Is that the kind of test Jim Bearley conducted?
That's correct.
Same objection.
Can you establish the source of his information on that?
Is the source of your information the laboratory notebook that I just referred you to?
Yes.
What does that laboratory notebook page illustrate?
That Jim Bearley performed a simple spectroscopic analysis of the dyes when they were attached to the oligos. This was done immediately after we analyzed the decoding results, and we thought that the separation might not be as... was not as good as it should have been. And the analysis clearly shows there are two dyes mixed together.
We heard earlier testimony from Dr. Zarnik that he advocated doing these tests to you in particular, but that you were stubborn and didn't allow him to do this experiment. Did you in any way prevent Jim Bearley from doing this experiment?
No, I didn't.
As a matter of fact, at the time it happened, did you know he had done it?
No, I didn't. In fact, no, I don't micromanage research. And a 5-minute experiment like this can be done by anybody at any time. And it was done by Jim Bearley in my group, so I don't see how I would have any way of preventing anybody else from doing such an experiment.
Thank you, Dr. Chi.
Cross-examination?